Hey guys, this is Danielle here. I posted a teaser to Instagram just letting you guys know that I was going to sit and have a quick chat with you guys today about getting a GST number for your small business, kind of identifying at what point you need to do that and a little bit on what that means for your business. So we do deal with a lot of small businesses doing what we do, obviously, and when we come across small businesses, we always want to determine whether or not you're a sole proprietorship or an incorporated business. Now, what I'm going to talk to you guys about regarding GST applies to both. So you may be an incorporated company that makes less than the threshold and you don't need a GST number, or you might be a sole proprietorship and be under the threshold and not GST, or not need GST. Or as we go forward, you'll see that, you know, there's lots of instances where people will get a GST number initially, but let's dive right into it. So I'm going to post a couple of resource articles on Facebook after I'm done with this tax talk as well. So you guys can read it, but you know, the one is called, does your small business need a GST number? Well, the long answer is, you know, if you're self-employed, freelance, or, you know, run any kind of business in Canada, you probably heard about GST. So the official threshold for when your business needs GST is $30,000. So, you know, there are people that will definitely go and, you know, get a GST number right off the bat. And some of the advantages of doing that, so before or when you're under the threshold, is that if you have less sales than you have expenses, you can generate a GST refund because you take 5% of the eligible expenses minus the 5% of the eligible sales. And if the number is greater, you get the difference back as a refund. In some cases, if you're a low expense industry, you might end up owing GST right off the bat. But part of tax planning is figuring out what percentage of your business, you know, how much, like, what kind of expenses you have and how much, and doing some planning for GST payments when you do get started in business. So basically, like I said, it's $30,000. You need to hit that in a 12-month period. So, you know, technically speaking, most people will track from December to, or January to December, 12-month calendar month, year, and that's perfectly fine. Hey, Christine, I see your comments. I'll get back to you in a second, okay? So, yeah, we talk about $30,000 in a 12-month period. So, again, technically speaking, again, most people will go from January to December. If you're consistently tracking from January to December, that's a good place to start. But it can be in a rolling 12 months. So sometimes you'll get somebody that starts in business in December and their combination of sales between December, January, and February are $30,000. At that point, you can also consider getting a GST number. So yeah, 12 months, like I said, just things to know. Now, what counts towards those limits, okay? So we're talking about what's eligible to pay GST on. So we talk about different types of income, and the first type of income that we want to talk about is obviously anything that you invoice for, anything that you're paid for as a contractor. So that's your freelance, or, you know, private sales. Things that are not eligible for GST is going to be income that isn't from self-employment. So salary from your job does not contribute to the $30,000. Investment income, as long as it's not in a business name, is not eligible to contribute to GST. Again, even then, most investments are exempt from GST for income. And social support and things like that, okay? Rental income also. Any kind of rental income is not eligible. You don't charge GST on it, as long as it's residential. There are some exceptions in commercial, and we can talk about that in another video. But if you have like a small rental property at home and you collect rent income on it, you don't have a GST number. If you get a grant from the government to run your business, that also does not qualify as GST. You don't pay GST on that. There are definitely industries that are GST exempt. Some of those are medical, something to do with like wholesale groceries, excuse me, and some education. I will do another video on exactly what types of industries you do and do not pay GST on, but just we're briefly touching on that today. Now, it's important to note that when you do hit the threshold and you are aware that you need GST, you have to do it on a volunteer basis, which means CRA is not going to send you a notice because they don't necessarily put two and two together between your personal return and you needing a GST number. Now, occasionally they do, and if they catch you and you've, you know, not claimed GST, it's up to their discretion whether or not they go back and do it as a back calculation for several years. Most of the time, if you know, if it's been a first year and you hit 30,000 and nobody told you about needing a GST number, you're not going to jail. Okay, they're just going to give you a little bit of a slap on the wrist and say you need to get a GST number now. So then we go and we get you a GST number. And once you have it, you need to file regardless of whether you hit $30,000 in sales or not. So if 1 year you hit $30,000 and you get a GST number, awesome. And then the next year you only make 10 grand, you still have to claim the GST. You could make zero sales and you could have expenses. You can still collect the GST on the expenses within reason. Obviously, we don't want to show zero income and $10,000 worth of expenses. Some businesses do have that sometimes if they're a startup and things like this. So that's very important. But yeah, basically, you can do GST registration a couple of different ways. Hey, Kelly, awesome. Yeah, play it on repeat, and we're going to go through a ton of stuff here. I got a little ways to go, so watch it from start to finish, and it should have everything you need to know about GST. So, like I said, when you're ready to register for GST, you can do it a couple of ways. You can search business registration online. If you do that, it'll ask you to identify yourself as a corporation or a sole proprietorship. You'll need to validate your identity with CRA, so you'll need your SIN number, the postal code that they have on file for you, and your date of birth. I can also assist, or companies like us can definitely assist you. If you just call somebody up and say, hey, I need help registering a GST number, super simple. The last option, obviously, is do it yourself, and I'm a big believer that being involved in your business at most levels is very important, so you can most definitely just call CRA. The number is 1-800-959-5525, and that's a resource that I will post. You can just call them and say that you want to register a GST number, and they'll take care of you right off the bat. Thank you, Devin. That was very nice of you. Also, for those watching the live video, obviously this feed is live, so there's going to be some me replying to comments. If you guys look at the comment section, you'll be able to see the ones that I'm referring to. So I'm not talking to myself, I swear. But yeah, so like I said, setting up a GST number, a couple different ways, very easy process, but very, very, very important. You can close a GST number due to inactivity if you'd like. That's also an option. If you're, you know, shutting down your business and you want to do it, you do actually have to formally close it. So again, that is definitely something we can help you with. Or you just call CRA and tell them that you want to officially close your business, you want to close the GST number. They'll make you file usually a partial payment just to get rid of it, which is just fine. excuse me. A lot of the time it's very simple to close it if you don't need it. I'm going to touch just briefly on when you're a small business and stuff like that. There's also I'll post a resource too here. It's self-employed taxes, the four keys to ask yourself before you're filing. So things we need to know about the actual tax return, and then things we need to know as far as GST one more time. So this is going to be specifically for sole proprietorships. If you are an incorporated business, then I will create another video for you on your reporting periods and how that works and timelines for you and your filing. So this is just going to concentrate on sole proprietorships. So as a sole proprietorship, a lot of the times people will commonly refer to them as home-based businesses, things like that. So a lot of you ladies out there, you know, selling Arbonne and Stella & Dot and Scentsy and Juice Plus and, you know, all those other ones, you guys are considered home-based businesses and sole proprietorships. So that means that when we file your taxes, it goes directly on your income tax. So there's no separate filing for you. It all gets done at the same time. So when you're preparing your taxes for the 2018 year end, make sure that you are including your business stuff and all of your applicable income and government forms or anything else outside of that, and it all goes together. So when we're talking about being self-employed, like I said, just a couple of things we want to talk about. When it comes to the filing deadlines, I'm going to highlight something very quickly first, and then I will tell you about what the guidelines are. If you are getting a refund, or if you normally get refunds, or if you think you're going to get a refund, you don't have to file by April 30th or June 15th. You can file your taxes whenever you'd like during the year. Now, anytime during the year within reason. So every single year the tax filing desk opens somewhere between February 15th and the end of February. So for 2018, you can't file 2018 taxes before that e-file desk opens in that year. But if you wanted to come in and you wanted to file taxes for 2017, we're sitting here today at July 13th, so obviously we're well past April 30th and June 15th. But if you have a refund, or you're very confident you're going to get a refund, there is zero tax penalty for filing taxes late. And a lot of offices, I know ours specifically, we handle full cycle tax preparation all year. So we'll still be doing lots of returns in July, August, September, October, all the way to the end of the year. And people will do that too because they'll wait till after the big push and the tax deadline comes out, because the wait times for the processing of your tax return goes down substantially. So that's another reason why people will do that, which is just fine. But if you are owing taxes, things you need to know is that your filing penalty, like when they start calculating taxes for you, is April 30th. So now you do have a filing deadline of June 15th, which means you can get an extended deadline, but there is still going to be, so you won't get charged a late filing penalty. You'll get charged the interest starting from April 30th. If you owe tax and you file after June 15th, there's what we call a late filing tax penalty, and then there is the interest and penalties on top. So roughly speaking, and it's not exact knowledge, so don't quote me on this, but generally speaking, the penalty for late filing when you're a sole proprietorship is about 5% of what you owe, plus 1% compounded interest every 30 days. Ooh, my video went all out of focus. Hold on. Ooh, I'm an accountant, not a videographer. So yeah, things that are very important. But yeah, so it's, you want to be, you know, keeping those deadlines in mind. I guess the prime question is, are you self-employed? If you're checking this video out or you're watching, you know, talk about GST, chances are that you are self-employed. But basically, if you invoice for things, Uber drivers, freelancers, small business owners who are not incorporated. So if you have a multi-level marketing business, you are a sole proprietorship, you are self-employed. If you're a photographer part-time, you are self-employed. If you do home renovations, if you are a mobile mechanic, any of those options qualify you to be self-employed, which is great. So that's how you identify yourself. Now, if you're unsure or if you have questions, you can also call Canada Revenue Agency and they will help you identify if your business income needs to be considered self-employed income and claimed on your tax return. I'm going to post a link as well later on over the weekend about what business expenses you can claim. But big things, obviously, that we want to talk about is that you do get to claim a percentage of your home expenses based on usage or square footage. You get to claim a portion of your vehicle. So again, we're looking at a ratio between business activity and personal activity, and combining sometimes mileage logs, but definitely keeping all receipts. That's a big component for people, as well as depreciation on a personal vehicle, which is very important. Equipment, including laptops, cell phones, cameras, obviously physical tools, those are all considered equipment, and you can actually depreciate those on your personal tax return as assets as well. If you have questions about that, you can message me and I'm happy to help you identify which things are considered assets. The way I do my tax service, my guideline for my small business owners is any individual piece of equipment that's valued over $500. If the expense is under $500, it's not... sometimes it just makes more sense to take what we call the blunt expense in the given year. So that means that if you spend $400 on a tool, that you're going to write off $400 that year under tools and supplies. Whereas if we transferred it to an asset, you would get 20 or 30% of the $400 value or 500 plus value in the first year, and a percentage ongoing for several years until we call it, you run out of depreciable value. And again, we can talk about that more in another video here, but just identifying that you do or do not have assets in your business. Travel expenses. Love to travel. Travel for work. Travel for research and development. Then you're eligible to write off travel expenses. Now, biggest point that I need to hammer on is that you need to keep your physical receipts for all things to do with your business. This is just like the number one rule, and the reason why is because it creates an itemized breakdown of what you spent. And that's what CRA is looking for, so that they can identify the individual transactions that you've done to verify whether or not they're related to business or not. And then obviously the last one being, again, just refreshing $30,000 cap or for GST, or if you feel like you're going to, you know, make more than that in the year and you want to preemptively get one, or if you want to capitalize on some startup GST credits on those initial expenses, that's another option. But yeah, so that's my mini talk on, does my small business need a GST number? I'm going to be reposting this video. Obviously, it's going to be posted to Facebook, but I'm also going to repost it to Instagram TV. If you guys are not following us, I will also post the link to our Instagram. And hopefully we'll get a YouTube channel up and running sometime in the next little while. But yeah, just like I said, just on a bit of a mission to help, you know, give you guys as Canadians some you know, free tax tips that are going to make a big difference in your guys' lives. I believe that knowledge is power, and the more that you know about your business, the better. So if you guys have obviously any more specific questions, please send us an email or send us a message or give us a phone call. All of our information is on Facebook, but I'll also repost it when I put this up live. And I'm going to be trying to shoot these out every couple of days. So I hope you guys will bear with me and stay tuned for some more knowledge. Thanks.